Good morning. Thank you very much for coming, especially for those who were up all of last night. It's really a tremendous thing to now come in the morning to learn Daf Hayomi, to learn Gemara. We begin today Masechet Beitza. There are those who do not say the word Beitza, they say the word Beya. And that's based on a comment of the Maharshal, the author of the Yamshel Shlomo, who said that maybe the word Beitza is a little bit, has connotations that aren't so clean sometimes, so maybe better to have the word Beya. But others didn't like that point, because they said the word Beya has the same connotation. And if anything, Beitza is better, because that's Hebrew, that's Lashon HaKodesh. So Lashon HaKodesh, the Rambam tells us very famously, doesn't have any, what makes a Lashon HaKodesh is that there's nothing untoward, nothing filthy in this language. This is a language which only refers to those parts of life that are not so clean in oblique and indirect ways. So therefore, the Gra, that's what's quoted in the Tiferes Yisrael, in the Yachin Uvoaz, the Gra himself used to refer to it as Masechet Beitza. Okay, let's start. Beitza, Shanol Dobi Yom Tov. This Masechta really is about the topics of Yom Tov. But the first word is Beitza. And the first topic that we're going to deal with is the topic of Mukta and Nolad. There is a concept that we've seen many times in Masechet Shabbos, that there are certain items that as Shabbos began, during Bein HaShemashos, sunset, and transitioning to the stars coming out, as Shabbos is beginning, that period which was a Safek, not sure whether it's still Friday, it's already become Shabbos, there are items that were huktzu midaito, they were sort of set aside, they were put out of a person's mind, he wasn't thinking to use them on Shabbos, and those items that were set aside, he wasn't planning to use them on Shabbos, they were huktzu lebein hashmashos. There's the concept that's been quoted, Migudi is katsoy levein hashmashos, since they were put out of mind, set aside during that period of the beginning of Shabbos, is katsoy lekule yoma. They stay put out for the entirety of the day, but throughout the day of Shabbos or Yom Tov, you cannot eat these items, use these items, or move these items. Different explanations given for why there is the takana of mukta. One of the ideas is that we know there's a prohibition of carrying from the street to a house, from a house to the street. Within the street, there's a prohibition of carrying. And so these items, by knowing that I'm not allowed to move them even within my own home, that'll keep me from possibly violating tiltel, carrying out in the street. Other reasons that are given is that this is part of what's necessary to create the atmosphere of Shabbos. Now, there are many different types of mukta. You can have an item that is mukta machmas gufo, that because of its very nature, it is set aside. It's not, no one's thinking of using it. Let's say a stone, a boulder, earth, a branch. These things are not food. These things are not utensils. People couldn't eat them. Animals aren't going to eat them. So they're set aside because of their very nature. And that is mukta. You can't move it on Shabbos. If a person takes a bunch of twigs before Shabbos and says, I'm not setting these aside, I'm going to use these twigs to play some game with them, with my children, then already it becomes a toy. And it's not mukta. Then you can use it on Shabbos. Then you have another type of mukta, mukta machmas isur, an item that when Shabbos was beginning, you wouldn't be able to use it because there is a prohibition involved in its usage. Let's take, for example, you have a little lamp, in the lamp you have oil, and you lit the lamp for Shabbos candles, and now Shabbos begins. So that oil that's in that lamp, you couldn't take it out, because if you take oil out of a burning lamp, that's machabe. That is hastening the extinguishing of the flame. That's reducing the vibrancy of the flame. That's a biblical prohibition of kibuy, of extinguishing a fire on Shabbos. So this oil was muktzah machmas iser. It was set aside because of the prohibition. Let's say a wind comes and knocks out the fire, knocks out the flame. You still can't use the oil that was in the lamp because it was muktza machmas iser. It was prohibited because of a prohibition. Now, in this muktza, we're going to see that there are disagreements about whether this is really muktza. Then we have muktza machmas mius. We have an item that became very filthy. Because it's filthy and disgusting, it was put out of mind. No one was planning to use it. Now it was clean. So now can you use it on Shabbos? Then you have what we begin our Masechta with, nolad, something that was born on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So as Shabbos entered, of course, it was out of mind, so it didn't even exist. It only came into the world on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Then you have a kli, shemelachto le'isur, utensil whose primary usage is something prohibited, let's say a pen. The primary use of a pen is to write, which is a malach of kosev. So the pen is muktza. However, kli shemelachto le'isur, you are allowed to move l'tzorech makomo. You're allowed to move it for its place, and you're allowed to move it to use it in a permissible way. Let's say to use the pen as a paperweight. That's called l'tzorech gufo. That is allowed. What you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to move the pen to save it. Let's say to prevent it from being stolen, to prevent it from being ruined. That's called mechama letzel, from the sun, where it's no good for it, to the shade that you can't do. Then you have muktza machmas chesron kis. You have an expensive item. An expensive item, people aren't planning to use it because it could easily get ruined. Let's say a very fancy razor and scissors. So that was put out of mind if we can't use it on Shabbos. And finally, you have an item which per se shouldn't be muktza. Let's say a platter. But on this platter, you lit the Shabbos candles. So it was a basis l'davar isur. As Shabbos was entering, it was a foundation for something prohibited. So since it was a basis l'davar isur, it stays prohibited throughout Shabbos. Right? These are different types of muktza. We're going to learn about them throughout the Masechta. Let's start with the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah in the Masechta details three arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Yom Tov. The first argument is unusual. Normally, Beis Shammai are the strict ones and Beis Hillel are the lenient ones. Here, it's the other way. In all of these arguments, in fact, Beis Shammai are the lenient ones and Beis Hillel are the strict ones. Beitza shenolda b'Yom Tov. A chicken laid an egg on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, this egg was born. So as Yom Tov was entering, there was no egg. But now on Yom Tov, the egg was born. Even though it was born on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai are lenient. They say it can be eaten. They still say, lo te'achel. It cannot be eaten. Now, that doesn't mean that this egg is going to be prohibited forever. It's just not going to be able to be eaten, according to Beis Hillel, on Yom Tov. We're going to see multiple different explanations for Beit Shammai versus Beis Hillel. But again, according to Beit Shammai, they're lenient. The egg born on Yom Tov can be eaten on Yom Tov. It's not muktza. We'll see, that's the first explanation. It's not muktza. We'll see why. It's not muktza according to Beit Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, of course it's muktza. You didn't even think of it. You weren't thinking of using it. So therefore, Beis Hillel holds, you can't use it on Yom Tov, it was born on Yom Tov. Next case. We know that on Pesach, there is a prohibition of eating and possessing chametz. When the Torah speaks about not having chametz, it talks about chametz plus that which makes chametz. Now chametz is fermented dough. So dough that was allowed to rise, ferment, spoil, become sour, and it rose, and it became noodles, or it was baked into a cookie, or a pretzel. That is chametz. But to make it chametz, to make it ferment, what normally happens is they take some dough, and they keep the dough with a lot of heat so that it ferments a lot. That's called the sourdough. It functions the way yeast functions. And the sourdough is thrown in, a piece of sourdough is thrown into a big bowl of regular dough, and that hastens, that speeds the process of fermentation. The Torah doesn't only mention not eating chametz. The Torah mentions sourdough. It says, Sa'or. You may not have sa'or, you may not have sourdough in your homes. So, Bishamay Omim Sa'or, because I, prohibition on sourdough is when you have an olive worth of it, because it's very fermented. Chametz, when you have a cookie, a piece of cake, a piece of bread, a noodle, that which regular dough that had a little sourdough in it in order to ferment it, but now it is starting to ferment and rise. Chametz b'koseves, you only violate chametz if you eat a date worth. So that's much bigger than a kezias. So if you have a kezias of chametz, Beis Shammai say you didn't violate anything. However, Beis Hillel and Beis Hillel say they're strict. They say zev is zev, both with sa'or and with chametz, the kezias. If it's an olive worth, then it's a prohibition. So here, a second stringency of Beis Hillel. One stringency of Beis Hillel is an egg born on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel say you can't eat. The second stringency of Beis Hillel about Yom Tov, this is about Pesach. They hold that chametz is prohibited in a kezias measure, not that it's only prohibited in a koseves measure, in a date measure. The third leniency of Beis Shammai and stringency of Beis Hillel, Hashochet Chaya V'ov Yom Tov. If a person slaughters a bird or a wild animal, not a domesticated animal, let's say a deer, on Yom Tov. Now the act of slaughtering is certainly permitted on Yom Tov, because on Yom Tov the Torah says, Ach asher yachal l'chol nefesh u'levado yaseh lachem. Don't do work, but that which is needed to prepare food, to enable somebody to eat, what we call ochel nefesh, you're allowed to do. So shchita, which is preparing the food, let's say my cooking is preparing the food, shchita is allowed on Yom Tov. But when you have a wild animal or a bird, there's a mitzvah to cover the blood. Now the covering of the blood, that's not going to overrule Yom Tov. The slaughtering of the animal is allowed, but covering the blood not. So Beis Shammai say, somebody slaughtered a wild animal or a bird. Those are the two creatures that need blood covering. If he did it on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai Omer, Beis Shammai say, Yachbor b'deker v'yachaseh. Beis Shammai say, he can dig with a shovel into the dirt and cover the blood. So they allow him to take a shovel, dig into dirt, and use it to cover the blood. But Beis Hillel say, no, you can't use that. The dirt is muktzah. You can't go move, now dig in dirt in order to cover blood. There's no permission for Kisi Adam to overrule Yom Tov. So therefore, Beis Hillel say, lo yishchot, don't shecht. Elim kin hayalo afar muchan mibod yom. Don't shecht unless you already prepared dirt from before Yom Tov, that you moved it from its place, and you put it aside for the sake of covering blood, and you can use it to cover the blood, and you can shecht. Otherwise, don't shecht. Umodim. Now, what happens if somebody didn't listen to us, and he already shechted? So then, if he shechted on Yom Tov, and if he shechted on Yom Tov, sheyachbor bedeker, if he has a shovel stuck into soft dirt, and that from before Yom Tov, he's allowed to dig with that shovel, v'yachaseh, and he's allowed to cover the dirt, she'efer kira muchanhu, because the ash of an oven is considered prepared. Or we'll see in the Gemara what that means, that last line, she'efer kira muchanhu. Okay, so again, the three arguments. Beis Shammai are the lenient ones. Beis Hillel are the strict ones. The first argument is about an egg born on Yom Tov. Beis Shammai say you can eat it. Beis Hillel say no. Second argument is about Pesach. Beis Shammai say a leniency. Chametz is only prohibited the size of the koseves, the size of a big date. Beis Hillel are the strict ones. They say no, the size of the kezias. And then we have the third argument where Beis Shammai say that if somebody shechts, somebody says if somebody wants to shecht a wild animal or a bird, so Beis Shammai say, okay, you can shecht it, and now use a shovel to cover it with dirt. And Beis Hillel say, no, you're not allowed to dig unless you've already prepared from beforehand. However, they both agree that if you shecht and you have a shovel from beforehand, not with dirt prepared for covering, but you just have the shovel from beforehand in soft dirt, you could use that dirt in order to cover. Says the Gemara, talking about the first argument, B'mai askinan, what's this case of the egg born on Yom Tov? What was the status of the chicken, which is the mother of the egg? Elaim, if you're going to tell me we're trying to go to some of this, we're talking about a chicken which the person was planning to eat. He had prepared this chicken before Yom Tov, and he was planning to slaughter it. And before he had a chance to slaughter it, the chicken lays an egg. It was all about trying to go into someone's lachila. My time, I had the Basil. Why would Basil be strict and say you can't eat this egg? Uchlad ifrasu. This is food which disconnects. Right? The chicken itself is not muktzah, because you can slaughter on Yom Tov. You're preparing to slaughter it. And the egg inside of the chicken is also food. Chicken is food, the egg is food. It's like you have a loaf of bread. Are you allowed to cut a piece off of a loaf of bread on Yom Tov and eat the piece? Of course you are. No one's going to say a piece cut off of a loaf of bread is muktzah. No, the whole bread is allowed. Now it's a piece of the bread. So the egg is just separating food from food. Ella, so if Beis Hillel say you can't eat the egg on Yom Tov, it must be the Tarnagolas, Homedes Legado Beitzim. We're talking about a chicken which is not set aside for eating of the chicken. The chicken was set aside to create eggs. The purpose of the chicken was to give birth to eggs. The chicken was not set aside in order to be eaten. So therefore the chicken itself is muktzah. So now, my time, I the Beis Shammai. What's the reasoning of Beis Shammai that they allow you to eat the egg? Muktzi. Since the chicken was not intended to be eaten, so then the egg should be muktzah. It should be prohibited. The chicken is already prohibited. The egg should certainly be prohibited. Says the Gemara, my kusha, what was the big question? We learned in Masechta Shabbos that there's a big argument between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Many of the cases of muktzah, Rabbi Shimon is lenient about them and says they're not muktzah, they're not out of mind, you can use them. And Rabbi Yehuda holds you can't use them. So for example, let's say a person lights a lamp and then the wind puts out the fire and there's leftover oil. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the leftover oil is muktzah, you can't use it. We're on Shabbos. And on Yom Tov also, you can't. On Yom Tov you could relight it, correct. But you couldn't eat the oil. You couldn't use the oil as a salad dressing. However, maybe on Yom Tov you could, because you can relight it. Let's talk about Shabbos then. Shabbos, right? On Shabbos you can't relight it. On Shabbos, if you use the holes, the oil is now muktzah. You have to wait till after Shabbos to use it. And Rabbi Shimon knows you could use it, because apparently Rabbi Shimon knows that even though a person put oil into the lamp and he lit it, he's thinking in the back of his head, and if I can't use it for a flame, then I'll use it for something else. Rabbi Shimon knows it's not muktzah. So maybe Beis Shammai hold like Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, Kasalka Daitim, what we were thinking to say was like this in our question. Afilu man deshoi b'muktzah, even Rabbi Shimon who permits muktzah. Nevertheless, b'nolad asar, something which was born on Yom Tov. It didn't even exist before Yom Tov. So that there's no way that he's thinking about it. It didn't exist. When Yom Tov started, it didn't exist. It comes into the world on Yom Tov. That would be prohibited. So in other words, so therefore, so my time, I would be Beit Shammai. So what is the logic of Beit Shammai? Why would Beit Shammai say that an egg born on Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat? It didn't exist as Yom Tov was starting. So therefore, as Yom Tov was starting, it was certainly out of mind. It was out of mind as Yom Tov was starting. It should be considered Muktza. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman answered. La'olam, the Tarnagolas, Ha'omedes, L'gadol Beitz. Really, we're dealing with a chicken, the mother of the egg, is Muktza. Because the chicken was set aside to produce eggs. Now, not to eat it. Udeisle Muktza, but here's the point. This is why Beishamai makes sense. If you hold that items can be put aside and they're muktza, and even when the reason why they were put aside is gone, they still stay put aside, then you would also hold of nolad, islay nolad. The leslay muktza, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that the leftover oil in a lamp can be used on Shabbos, if you don't hold of muktza, then leslay nolad, you also don't hold of nolad. Even if it was born on Shabbos, you'd be able to use it. So therefore, now we understand Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, Rabbi Shimon. Beis Shammai are straight up like Rabbi Shimon. They don't hold of Muktza, they don't hold of Nolad. So Rav Nachman explains. According to Rav Nachman, Beis Shammai doesn't hold of Nolad. That's why Beis Shammai said that an egg born on Yom Tov, you're allowed to eat the egg. Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda. Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that holds of Muktza. If he holds of Muktza, he also holds of Nolad. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Rav Nachman, Hachi, did Rav Nachman say such a thing? What's not? But didn't we learn in the Mishnah? This is about Shabbos. Beis Shammai say, Magbiin me'al ha'shulchan atzamos u'klipin, that you can take off of the table bones, peels, right? Let's say the peels of the walnuts that aren't edible, you can lift them off of the table. Basil say, no, you can't directly take them with your hands because they're muktza. Mesalikas hatavla, he removes the whole platter that has on it the bones and the peels. And this platter is a kli, it's a utensil, you'll have to move it. Uminara, and then as you're moving it, he shakes off the bones and the peels. Rav Nachman said that's the wrong version of the Mishnah. Rather, Ella Beis Shammai is Rabbi Yehuda. Beis Shammai, who halacha is not like, they're the view of Rabbi Yehuda that the bones and peels are muktza, and therefore you have to move the platter and shake them off. Beis Hillel, Rabbi Shimon. Beis Hillel is the view of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there's no muktza or less muktza, and therefore the bones and peels can be picked up directly. So here we have Rabbi Nachman saying that I'm changing the gear, son of Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, to establish Beis Hillel like Rabbi Shimon. And now you're saying in Masechet Beitza that Rabbi Nachman says that Beis Hillel hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Shammai hold like Rabbi Shimon. I thought Rabbi Nachman is the one who says that Beis Hillel hold like Rabbi Shimon. Beis Hillel holds you can take the bones and peels directly. Samlach Rabbi Nachman will tell you, no. I said what I said, and it's not a problem. There's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Gabi Shabbos, in regards to the laws of Muktzah on Shabbos, and Beis Hillel are following Rabbi Shimon. They don't have Muktzah. On Yom Tov, which is our Mishnah, Beitz Shinol Dabi Yom Tov, Beis Hillel are following the view of Rabbi Yehuda that there is Muktzah. Why would I say that? Because we have a rule. Halacha is like Beis Hillel. We have another rule. Halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. Any Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi didn't say, it's the opinion of this rabbi or that rabbi, it's Rabbi Meir's opinion, it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. He says, this is the law. Any Mishnah is just presenting with law as such. Halacha is like that Mishnah. So Halacha of Nachman. Rav Nachman will tell you, Gabe Shabbos, to saw some Montanaka Rishima. In regards to Masechet Shabbos, we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon that doesn't have Muktza. That means halacha is that there's no muktza, or less muktza on Shabbos. So if that's what the Mishnah said, we have to have Beis Hillel saying that, because we can't have contradictions on what the halacha is. It's not, as we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechta Shabbos. Mechatchin es hadluin lifnei habehema. You're allowed to chop up pumpkins into small little pieces in front of an animal on Shabbos. It's not considered a tircha shalol l'tzorach. It's not considered a strain or too much activity for no reason. Secondly, here's the muktzah concept. That's a nevela. If you have an animal that dropped dead on Shabbos, it became a nevela. So as Shabbos was entering, you weren't planning to use it. It was a live animal. Now it dropped dead on Shabbos. You'll have to chop up this animal, lift the club in front of the dogs to feed them. And it's not considered mukta. Even though as Shabbos was entering, it wasn't for the dogs because it was a live animal still. Now, though, it's able to be for the dogs. So you see that there's no mukta. That's like Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, mukim lola basil Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, he said that the Mishnah with basil and beishamai about the peels and the bones has to also be like Rabbi Shimon. Basilel has to be like Rabbi Shimon. And Basilel are going to be the ones who say that there's no mukta, and you can directly lift the peels and bones. However, now turning to Beis HaMibes, Gabe Yom Tov, in our Mishnah, where we're dealing with Yom Tov, Sasam Lantana, we're going to have a Mishnah in this Masechta, where there's a Stam Mishnah, presenting that there is mukta. Kir Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not as we're going to learn in a Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to say, Ein mevakin eitzin menakoros. Let's say there's a pile of beams that are going to be used to build a building. So they were set aside because they're going to be used for a building, a pile of beams. You're not allowed, so no one's planning to use them on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to chop them up on Yom Tov to make firewood. Lo menakora shenishra b'Yom Tov. And let's say you have a beam that was set aside to be put into a building, and on Yom Tov Nevuch, there was a big storm, and it broke. So now you can't chop up this beam, even though it broke on Yom Tov. Now that it's broken, it can't be used for building. You can't chop it up further, because it was mukta. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, since it was mukta during Bein Hashmashos, so even though the reason for that setting aside has stopped, it stays mukta the whole day. Rabbi Shimon would allow this. But here we just have a Stam Mishnah. Mishnah just says these things are mukta. So since we see that in regards to Yom Tov, the Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah just presents the law as Rabbi Yehuda. You're from Bukim Lola Beis Hillel. Rabbi Nachman said the Beis Hillel, who also the halacha is like them, are Rabbi Yehuda. They like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why Beis Hillel say that an egg born on Yom Tov is prohibited. You cannot eat it, even though normally, in Shabbos, maybe it would be different. Says Gemara Mechti, let's take a look. Man satmi l'masnisim. Who's the one who makes Mishnayos, who arranges the Mishnayos, sometimes leaving out the author? Rabbi Tzvi Anasi. If so, Maishna b'Shabbos l'sasim on Rabbi Shimon. Why, in regards to the laws of Shabbos, do we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon? Maishna b'Yom Tov. Why, in regards to Yom Tov, Satam like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda? Ami, they answered, Shabbos to Chamira. Shabbos is very strict. Shabbos is very strict. There are 39 malachos you can't do. There are a lot of stringencies in Shabbos. So since there are a lot of stringencies with all the laws of Shabbos, therefore, in regards to Mukta, we can be lenient. You can say, okay, on Shabbos, Mukta will follow Rabbi Shimon. The fact that we are being lenient in regards to mukta is not going to lead lack of seriousness in the other laws of Shabbos. Therefore, Sasam Lan Ki Rabbi Shimon the Maker. Therefore, in regards to Shabbos, Rabbi presented the halacha just to be like Rabbi Shimon, who's the lenient one. But Yom Tov Dekil, like Yom Tov is in general not treated as seriously. Because people say, hey, you know, Yom Tov a lot of carry, Yom Tov a lot of cook, a lot of shecht. They don't treat Yom Tov with the same degree of, oh my gosh, it's Yom Tov. So therefore, if we're not going to have strict laws of mukta on Yom Tov, people will mistreat Yom Tov further. They won't give it the same respect. Therefore, Sasam and Rabbi Yehuda demach. Therefore, here Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who is strict. Okay, according to Rav Nachman, the explanation of the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is nolad, but nolad is really the issue of mukta, according to Rav Nachman. Whatever you hold about mukta is what you're going to hold about nolad. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, Beis Shammai, they hold the lenient view of mukta, they hold like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore they permit things. They also permit even nolad. Yeah, it didn't exist in Bein HaShemashos. Okay, so what? But now it's here. Now it's edible. Now it's fine. That's the view of Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel, they are following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. It didn't exist during Bein HaShemashos. It certainly wasn't prepared from before. Therefore, it was muktzah during Ben Hashmashos, so it stays muktzah, and it is prohibited. That's the view of Beis Hillel. Now, Rav Nachman himself holds that Beis Hillel in regards to Shabbos passes like Rav Shimon. Doesn't pass like Rav Yehuda, but that's okay. We understand that now. Shabbos is strict. So since it's strict in all the other laws, therefore the rabbis could say, okay, we'll be lenient with muktzah. It's not going to lead to lightheadedness. But Yom Tov is in general less than Shabbos. Therefore, they had to pass like Rav Yehuda to be strict on muktzah. So the people wouldn't discount Yom Tov. So the Gemara B'mayu came to add, you explain this Mishnah. What's the case? The Tarnagolas Omedes Legadol Beitz. A chicken which is not intended for eating, it's intended to create eggs. Umishu Muktzah, and the issue is Muktzah / Nola. Yachi, if that's the case, Adamiflugi B'Beitzah, instead of having the argument about the egg, Liflugi B'Tarnagolas, the argument should be about the chicken itself. A chicken that you were planning just for eggs, and now you decided you wanted to eat it on Yom Tov, the Shama would say you can't, because it's... The Shama would say you could, because they hold that there's no muktzah, they hold like Reb Shimon, and Beis Hillel would say on Yom Tov you can't. They hold on Yom Tov like Reb Yehuda. As the Gemara, one second, the reason why I didn't say the argument in regards to the chicken itself, well, the acha kocha de Beis Shama, to tell you how far Beis Shama go. Even nolad shari, they even permit that which is born. Says the Gemara, say both points. Well, if we're trying to go, so the Acha Kocha to Rebbeil, to Rebbeil, to Beis Hillel. But why don't you argue? Why didn't they argue about the chicken to tell you how far Beis Hillel will go? So, but Muktzah asks you that not only do they prohibit Nola, they even prohibit Muktzah. The Chitim, we're going to tell me that we don't want to do because Koach Te'atera Adif. We always want to prefer the side that's lenient. It's more interesting, the side that's lenient. It's more exciting, the side that's lenient, because it takes courage to be lenient. It's always easier to just say, okay, let's just be strict, but you have to be 100% sure to be able to be lenient. So that's more impressive. Okay, the Niflug B'Tzarvay, let the Mishnah then mention both points. It could say, Tarnagolas Almedes Legadol Beitzim, a chicken that is going to produce eggs. That's what it's standing for. It's not standing to be eaten. He Ubeitzasa, both the chicken itself and its egg, Beishamei Omim Te'achel, Beishamei should say, could be eaten, shouldn't be muktzah. And they still will be the ones who should say it should not be eaten. Right. Let both be mentioned. Let both be mentioned. A nice point, right? You are expecting the eggs, but I think the difference is they are not in existence yet. Davar shalom bala olam. How could you be so sure? You never know. You can't be preparing something which is not here yet. I think so. So, therefore, based on this question, if you're going to say that the issue here is the issue of nolad, but nolad is dependent on muktzah, I mentioned both the egg and the chicken. Elam Araba, therefore Rabba suggested another answer. We're dealing with a chicken that you're planning to eat and it's not muktzah. We're dealing with Yom Tov, which is on Sunday. Yom Tov right after Shabbos. The reason why Beis Hillel say you can't have the egg born on Yom Tov is because it was not prepared in the right time. Prepared on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Or here it's prepared on Shabbos for Yom Tov. But that which is prepared on Shabbos for Yom Tov wasn't prepared in the right way. Therefore, it is prohibited. Because Rabba holds. Kolbeitzu de misyalda idna. This is what Yosef brought up. If an egg is born today, me'esmol gamrala. That means that it was finished really inside of its mother yesterday. So therefore, an egg born on Sunday, Beitzah Shnol B'Yom Tov, that means it was formed on Shabbos. That means it wasn't prepared on a weekday for Yom Tov, it was prepared on a Shabbos for Yom Tov. That's why it's prohibited. Rabba L'Tameh, Rabba who is saying this, is being consistent. Rabba said, my defeat, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? where the Jewish people were told to prepare the man that they were going to eat on Shabbos on Friday. The pasuk says, "Vayu b'yom hashishi," should be on the Friday. Ve'chinu es asher yaviu, and they are to prepare that which they will bring. The pasuk is saying that even mere preparations to say, "I'm going to eat this stuff," that should be done on the weekday and not on Shabbos. Even when Hashem prepares, Hashem's preparation can be eaten on Yom Tov or Shabbos if it was prepared before Shabbos or Yom Tov on a weekday, not if it was prepared on Shabbos. Chol Mechem LeShabbos, the weekday, Friday, that can be used to prepare for Shabbos. Chol Mechem LeYom Tov, the weekday can prepare for Yom Tov. Then Yom Tov Mechem LeShabbos, you can't prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Then Shabbos Mechina LeYom Tov, Shabbos cannot prepare for Yom Tov. That's the view of Rabbi. Amar Le'Abai, Abai said to Rabbi, let me ask, but if that's the case, Yom Tov Ba'alma Tishtari, an egg born on a regular day of Yom Tov, a Yom Tov that's not on a Sunday, should be allowed, because then it was prepared on a weekday, but the egg gets finished the day before it comes out. Says Rabbi, no, that's also not allowed, Gzeira, because of a decree, Mishum Yom Tov Achra Shabbos, because if people will be able to eat eggs born on a Yom Tov, which is on Tuesday, they'll also eat eggs born on Yom Tov, which is on Sunday. So to prevent them from eating eggs born on Yom Tov, which is Sunday, because then that egg was prepared on Shabbos, even an egg born on a Yom Tov, which is a Tuesday. Says the Gemara, well, if that's the case about Yom Tov eggs, well, Shabbos Talmud Tishri. When you have an egg born on Shabbos, you should be able to eat it, because that means it was prepared on Friday. So Rabbi says, no, the reason why you can't do that is Zeir Rishum Shabbos Achar Yom Tov. If people would be eating eggs born on Shabbos, because they were prepared on Friday, people might be eating an egg born on Shabbos when the Friday is a Yom Tov. So therefore, they prohibited all eggs born on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mikas Rinan. Did they make so many decrees? Well, Tanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa? Ashok is a kind of goal, so much about Beit Sim Gemurios. A person who shechts a chicken, finds inside the chicken completed eggs. Mutaros lachem v'yom tov. You're allowed to eat them on Yom Tov. But if you're right, you're always making all these decrees. And they should say you can't eat it, can't eat the eggs that you found inside the chicken, because you're not allowed to eat the eggs that the chicken gives birth to. So because of those eggs that you can't have, you should be able to have these eggs. If you have these eggs, people might think you could have those eggs. Amar le, Rabbi responded to Abaye, Beitzim, Gmuris, V'mei, Iyaman, Nilsit, Loshichi. To shech the chicken and find inside of it complete eggs is something unusual. Nilsit, Loshichi, Logazu, Barabanan, the unusual things the rabbis do not make decrees about. But a Yom Tov coming on a Sunday or a Shabbos coming after a Friday, on Friday being Yom Tov, these are prevalent and likely events. Therefore, for these things, the sages did make decrees. Achan Daf Beis.